Let me welcome you and welcome everybody. Sorry to delay a little bit. Just realized that I didn't switch off my cell phone. I see there are new faces, and we're starting a very tedious and arduous journey. Just do something new, which has been done before. Just a little bit of introduction of everybody. My name is Sister Njikela. Now, I was told to come and chair this committee. I'm still trying to do that.
Eric Kotze, Committee Secretary of the Portfolio Committee on Energy.
The Schrampelart, Continent Advisor, Portfolio Committee on Energy.
Good morning. I'm Thokozo Mpofu from the Department of Energy.
Morning. Thank you so much, Legani, Parliamentary Officer, Department of Energy.
Chase the one you want to get to the Minister.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Dombi Nyikiso. I'm the State Advisor from...
I'm answering from the ID.
Shoxmore
from Democratic Alliance. Thank you.
I'm Chair Kerry Kruger, representing UB Renewable Energy, as well as the South African Wind Energy Association, as well as the Business Women Association.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Felix Wächter. I'm also with UB.
Good morning. I'm Dado Wan. I'm an intern at ESCO. I'm from UK.
Good morning, I'm Gail Eddy from Helga.
I'm at April, CMG.
I'm Beryl Ferguson, a Member of Parliament, and I'm from the Congress of People.
My name is David Chan, and I'm the Chairperson of the PV Industry Association.
Hi, I'm Rich Loudon. I'm off communications, salary report monitors, representing various business groups.
Welcome everybody to this long journey. I think it's a long journey, and I think it's good just for people to know each other who's starting this long journey, because of one thing, once in terms of volume the bill we're handling appears to be relatively small in size, but its significance it's fairly profound. I was speaking to someone saying that out of my experience in the past, I've handled interesting bills or interesting laws. The Credit Act, which was quite sizable. The Companies Act, which we reduced from 300 pages down to 220. So we just reduced it by 80 pages. And also the Consumer Protection Act, which was so voluminous, in so much that it had to be implemented in stages. I think the last stage was 2010. I can't remember now. But it just had to be implemented in stages. So one has a sense of, at times, how complex it is to handle a piece of legislation that has far-reaching implications. And once again, honourable members and everyone listening, remember, all things equal, we could have dispensed with this piece of legislation by June last year. But we felt that let us face the firing squad if need be. I was prepared to face that, whether it was the speaker or whether it was the leader of the government business, to say, let us make sure that anything that comes up that has a, that poses, you know, a lacuna, if I can use it, or any threat, let's take a pause, address it, and move, you know, steadily. But of course, there must be a balance as well on the other hand, that we should start moving. Today, what we are going to do, the department is going to take us through the bill itself, just to highlight key areas, you know, of the bill, because in essence the bill is about setting up an agency, setting up an institution, but we know operationally it's about taking out those functions of this institution from ESCO, which is one of the areas that creates this complexity, number one. But the bill is also, because it's part of the supply industry and it's part of the electricity industry as well, it's rattling the whole industry, if I can use that flip language, you know, it has a ripple effect down the line. Hence, I'm glad that the committee is keen that down the line, parallel to what we're doing, in whatever way, we should also address the issue of restructuring of the industry as a whole. Of course, expecting and assuming that it is the department, Bambofu, that actually will lead that, notwithstanding that other you know, departments could, you know, play a role, you know, as well. Surely, some little bit of clustering would take place there, but it's up to you guys to work it out. We'll monitor, we'll play our role, we'll ensure down the line how we also source inputs and ideas and views from the key stakeholders, one or another, and ensure that that's factored in as bill itself. But alongside that, one of the things I would like the department to do for us today is also to refresh our memories around the submissions. You know, Mabofu, I hope you'll be helpful. You know, I mean, submissions were made, 19 submissions, a couple of them oral, but all recorded. But there were key issues that were raised in all the submissions, to the extent that the department even responded to some of them. Very good. If you could refresh us on that, but also highlight as we move along. Nanguma Mumikiso, listening attentively, I wish Advocate Vanara was around. I think once again he's stretched, you know, it's so difficult. That's our legal advisor. It would have been lovely if he was here, you know, to just say, once we start now, getting off the ground with the bill, you know, line by line, clause by clause, you know, bear in mind we have to address ourselves on these key issues which were raised during submissions. That's what I would like us to ensure it will refresh us. I know people can complain that it slowed us down, but I feel we don't have to take things for granted, you know. Rather, let's be seen to be moving a little bit slower than slow. But we'll be as meticulous as is possible, and we'll be as thorough as is possible, given the significance of this bill. And in that way, you know, we can all smile and say, look, when we come to the conclusion of the process, that we've done our best, we've given it our best shot, and hopefully, Mr. Kotse, on the other hand, we will not come back to such a Kondoki room. We have a better conducive room because we've got to crack our scars and think very hard when addressing this. Before we hand over to the department, can you take us through apologies, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. Following apologies, Honorable Tinto, who's attending Mineral Resource Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources, Honorable Salau, who's attending the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, and Honorable Khadeb and Honorable Meyer Pulaus attending the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training. And then Mr. Maloto indicated that he was stuck in traffic this morning, but he will be joining us, Chair. Those are the apologies.
Any amendment to it?
On our way, Chair.
Oh, yeah. Honorable Smalley, it's a national budget day. I'll buy a lane in Rome for now. Okay, Prof. Cousin Azum Kroa.
Thanks, Chair. Okay, basically I will be taking you through this presentation, which just gives basically explaining to us what the ISMO is and what the key functions of the ISMO would be, and obviously taking the members, you know, through the process. Then after which then we will go then through what the chair called comments that we have received, you know, through the public hearings that we've had. You know, it's been a long process, so basically there are some good suggestions that we will be taking from those comments in order to enhance the ISMO bill, as well as to ensure that the ISMO bill basically it achieves the purpose that it seeks to address within the broader energy sector, especially electricity industry. So basically I hope that this presentation will sort of refresh, you know, the members and the House, you know, as to what exactly is the purpose of this bill, and obviously so that also the member can appreciate some of the complexities that as the department and as well as the committee will have to deliberate upon, so that we understand the decisions that we're taking in terms of they are based on this legislation and what exactly are the key objectives that we are trying to sort of address with this bill. Obviously, the presentation is not very long, but obviously I think it's going to be very impactful in terms of refreshing us in terms of as to why we are here. Obviously, as we've been through this journey a long way, but obviously the challenges of energy, they keep on raising their heads, you know, from now and again. So basically, we're still where we were when we introduced this bill, you know, in terms of the tight energy security, you know, that we currently faced with, you know, the challenges, you know, are still here. And obviously, this presents to us the agency that we basically need to address, you know, the issues that are contained in the bill. But obviously, as the chair kept mentioning, that there is no need to rush this process. You know, we need to understand exactly what we are doing, you know, so that whatever decisions that the Portfolio Committee on Energy takes, you know, it takes on an informed basis. And I'm glad that the chair has allowed this extended time, you know, to for us to engage on some of these matters, you know, so that we basically comprehend the complexity that the electricity sector in South Africa is facing. So basically, why ISMO, you know, is critical, especially from the department's perspective, is that first of all, we have realized that, you know, ESCOM cannot carry this burden of providing energy to the entire country. Therefore, there is a need to bring other players into the sector, you know, to sort of help ESCOM shoulder this burden. So obviously, in light of the current structure, we feel that, you know, there is a need to have and to establish an independent entity. This is basically going to carry four functions, those functions being planning, aggregation, as well as managing the system. So also what that then would do, it will then alleviate the government's balance sheets by making provisions for private sector money to come in and as a result assist, you know, in ensuring that the energy sector is sustainable, as well as it does not solely depend on the on fiscals for it to thrive. Hence that statement where we say that we minimizing the government exposure, as well as if ISMO operates the way that we intend it should operate, we think that there is room to basically arrest the spiraling cost of energy that we're seeing on a daily basis in a manner that will ensure that that sustainability is maintained for a long term, as well as reduce the sector risk basically by depending only on one entity that is solely backed by the state. Basically, the resources would be shared between the state as well as the private sector. But bearing in mind that as we seek to establish ISMO, ISMO will remain a state-owned entity, obviously facilitating private sector entry into the energy sector. So what is an ISMO? An ISMO is an independent system and market operator. Why it's independent, we need to stress the independence that we're talking about here. That the independence in the sense that it is independent from people that are generating electricity, that is mainly generators, as well as people that are retailing electricity. So basically there is no ISMO, it's not going to be convicted, you know, by either the retailers of electricity or by generators of electricity. So basically ISMO will just be ensuring that whatever is generated gets dispatched in an equitable manner, and as a result retailers should have enough energy to sell to their consumers. So basically I think this is a very clear distinction that members should understand. When we say independent, we mean that independent from the role players within the electricity sector, but is must still be controlled by the state. Okay, the approach that ISMO is going to take, obviously subject to the deliberations that the Portfolio Committee on Energy is going to have, was that ISMO was going to be, because the function that we are earmarking, the function is currently being carried out within ESCOM, so basically was to ring-fence that function, pending certain measures weigh upon them that those functions will then be taken out of ESCOM to facilitate the formation of this independent entity. Obviously, there is a time frame there, but you know, a time frame is a time frame. It's a matter of how these other things that we think are necessary to enable that to happen. So we had 4 months at the time, but you know, a time frame can be influenced by various factors. But obviously, it is important that when we decide upon those time frames, we ensure that stability within the industry is maintained. So, as the ring fencing, therefore, obviously, that entity is taken out of ESCOM to be a standalone entity through this legislation, whereupon then, obviously, we will expect ISMO to operate fully, carrying out the mandate that this bill will give unto it. Obviously, the thing with phase 3, the consideration of different options as to how the transmission is going to be to evolve. I think we have spent a larger part of probably 8 months or so, if not longer, just trying to understand the impact that transmission has, you know, on this ISMO. And obviously, I believe there has been a lot of thought in terms of where should transition stand, but I believe that there is still some further work, you know, that needs, that still has to be done in order to give direction as far as that matter is concerned. But obviously, upon deliberations that we have had, you know, it became evident that transition will have a significant impact, you know, whether it moves to ISMO now or whenever. But obviously, what then the choice that it gives the department is that we, whatever stance we take on transmission, a proper due diligence must be done so that the any form of impact, be either financial or with regards to the security of supply, is understood and mitigated properly. Okay, this is just the current industry structure as is. Basically, the block, the middle block at the bottom, it talks to what is more as we see it, what are the functions that ISMO will have to do. Basically, to take charge of the national control, which is the dispatch wing, as well as the wholesaler, basically the people that are will be contracting with the all the generators, be it ESCOM generators or IPPs, that culminate into a single buyer function. So that will be people that will be paying for the power, as well as aggregation. So then we go into, these are the things that basically led us to create this ISMO bill. Basically, there is a perception that says that IPPs have not been forthcoming, and obviously, why have IPPs aren't coming on board, you know, given the nature of the tightness of the electricity supply that we are in now. So basically, those were the points that came forth, and this is what ISMO basically is trying to address by ensuring that the conflict of interest between ESCOM and ISMO is dealt with, as well as just to affirm government's position that IPPs must come on board in order to assist in furthering the objective of the energy sector by ensuring that there is adequate supply of energy for economic growth, as well as that energy is sustainable. Also, it doesn't fully depend on the fiscals. Obviously, upon these deliberations, or if you go through the bill, okay, obviously, there were issues that, as the department, we're supposed to enhance a little bit so that these messages are become very clear in terms of how are we going to deal with this conflict, as well as how do we affirm that whenever IPPs come on board, this specific conflict of interest will be completely dealt with, so that there is confidence within the sector. Obviously, the regulatory environment is more on its own, doesn't deal with the regulatory framework. The regulatory framework is dealt with in the ERA, Electricity Regulation Act, which we are also amending. I know it has not come to this house, but obviously it will be coming to this house, because basically those two pieces of legislation, if they are read side by side, the picture becomes very clear and comprehensive as to what is it that we're trying to achieve. Okay, I think basically this slide just demonstrates the units or the sections of ESCOM that will then form a complete ISMO. Obviously, one of the key things that was raised in the deliberations, especially from ESCOM, was the definitions of key customers. Where do those customers fall? And obviously, what we had provided in the bill as the department was that there will be regulations that will be defining customers, you know, in terms of this category of customers. Is it going to be customers for ISMO or customers for ESCOM, etc., and that work is still ongoing. But obviously, I think there is some level of detail that we could put in the bill as it stands, just to give further clarity on those, because we've learned that use KISS customers will result, it could have a significant financial impact to ESCOM. So basically, probably we need to improve in terms of how that section of key customers is drafted, you know, in the field as it stands. Probably that's where those are the things that will have to be tweaked in the A bill as the committee deliberates going forward. Okay, I think I've spoken to this phase as well, where the ISM is completely hyped away from ESCOM to form this new entity. Okay, I think this is just a repeat, but maybe I'll just go through this so that it just reaffirms what we are doing. Basically, okay, ISMO will be doing generation planning. Basically, this function is what is contained in the integrated resource plan. The buying of power from generators currently in the advent of the new renewable IPPs, the department is currently clearing this question, but this is our belief and conviction that the department is not established to be procurers of energy. So basically, ISMO will be a dedicated procurer. Therefore, this function must be done by ISMO, as well as trading of energy that must fall within the ISMO. Because now, how the current system works is that the department is the procurer of energy, but trading still happens within an ESCOM platform. So it is working, but it is not an ideal situation where you've got a procurer sitting somewhere and trading happening in a different platform. So upon ISMO being established, if that's the decision, therefore all those things will be housed within one entity where everything should happen seamlessly. Obviously, system operations, it is critical that it is also housed independently, so that it gives a little bit more of a transparency in terms of how dispatch occurs within the system, so that also, because in the current setup, you know, all those, we do not have sight of, you know, it's controlled by the entity which is perceived to be conflicted, because they are a generator as well as now they are also trading this new energy that we intend to bring into the market. Obviously, what then this would do is that upon us defining the categories of customers, certain customers will then have a liberty to buy energy directly from ISMO, which is not currently the case, and we hope if we achieve a proper market segregation with regards to customer sizes, that will have a significant benefit in terms of electricity prices, which we think will trickle down to the consumer as well as to the just use of electricity at large. Okay, here's my logic. Obviously, we've got the integrated resource plan, which obviously outlines the amount of energy that we need to bring into the grid. And obviously, currently, there is a determination that gets done by the Minister of Energy, whereupon it decides that, okay, now we think it's time to bring in new power, but the department still procures. And obviously through this mechanism, but still ESCOM still has to trade that power, although the power has been procured by the department. We feel that if ISMO comes to being, the minister will just have to make the determination only, and then all the other factors then will be handled via the ISMO. And we think that is going to be a prudent manner of doing things, because everything will happen seamlessly. But in the current setup, the department has a lot to do in the space, and obviously, you know, it takes a lot of doing, you know, going through all sorts of hoops, you know, to make sure that these things, you know, happen seamlessly. Obviously, we spent a lot of time, you know, in this committee trying to sort of understand the implications of transmission, you know, in terms of the role that transmission play. And obviously some work is still ongoing that probably at some point will bend that debate as to where exactly, what is the ultimate destination of transmission, because obviously we understand that transmission plays a big role in terms of affirming the independency, you know, of or rather in terms of dealing with the perceived conflict of interest, wherein ESCOM is a generator, is a transmitter, as well as the distributor. So obviously it brings some hesitation to the independent players in terms of how independent is this if then the player that we are sort of competing with still has got monopoly of the transmission grid in this case. So obviously work is being is ongoing, you know, to that will at least probably the current to establish where mass transmission's final destination be. And I think when we reach that point, I think most of the work, you know, would have been done in terms of dealing with the risks that were put forward the Portfolio Committee on Energy, as well as some aspects, you know, relating to transmission in terms of how exactly must the electricity industry pan out, you know, long term. But I think probably we are closer to that point, although, you know, it takes a lot of doing to understand the intricacies, you know, associated with transmission, because there is some funding that has to be dispensed with, you know, also some key policy decisions which obviously must be made, you know, by the department and by the government at large. Okay, so I think that brings us to the third part where we're just trying to understand the logic behind ISMO and what it is that ISMO is trying to address within the electricity sector. I'll hand this back over to Chair if there are any questions or issues.
In other words, then, the way the bill is crafted, then response to the way the bill is crafted, the response to what you have presented, the logic, it tries to articulate all issues raised here, or not all, but key issues raised here. Okay, that's what I wanted to be clear about, you know, even if we're rehashing it. Honorable Hailing, followed by Honorable Mloto.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask, you know, what came up in the public hearings a lot, and which I think will come up a lot this year as we deal with other legislation, is a lot of people have said that we really need to have a vision for what we see the end state for the electricity industry, so that we've got something to guide ourselves with in terms of processing this legislation, and to then assess whether this legislation is taking us towards that end state. Has the department actually developed a vision for what they would like the end state for electricity industry to be in South Africa? And if you have, I mean, are you going to share that with us so that we can have that as a guideline? And if you don't, when will you develop that particular vision? Because I think it's vital for our work as a committee to have that to guide us, and for us to also engage with whether we agree with your end state. I mean, that is something that's important. The other issue that I wanted to take up is the issue of this ISMA. Do you foresee a contracting in terms of buying and selling electricity? So they have to, the ISMA will then have to enter into agreements. Do you think that it therefore needs to be underwritten financially to be able to do that? Because if it doesn't have an asset book now, as we're not transferring the transmission assets, how do you foresee that the contract's been guaranteed? And will that have implications on National Treasury and on our debt covenants? It's very interesting.
To move towards the Honourable Mloto, I just want to indicate Ms. Mpofu won't answer the first part, that will you share the end state with us? They can't afford not to share that first. Yeah, no, the other one, you can answer, but that's the need to say, you know, that one, Honorable Railing, is a given. Honorable Mlot.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to, you know, just refresh our mind on what are the roles of the minister. And I'm just looking at your the matrix which showed your responses to various presenters. Correct me and fill some gaps in my understanding. According to this arrangement, the minister will be responsible for the IRP. And then ISMO will procure. Now, there's this other part which I need you to clarify also. You know, how does ERA, I know this legislation is not yet before us, how does it fit into this arrangement? And there's somewhere which I'm slightly lost. Wait, I'll give you the example. Yeah, it says in your response to Professor Eberhard is saying ISMO should be able to procure new generation capacity and not only purchase function. You know, the terminology is confusing me a bit, but your response says minister makes a determination for procurement of long-term generation capacity in terms of ERA. And this will be responsible for actual procurement of long-term generation capacity. If you could just clarify that statement for me. I think those are the two key questions, but other issues on progress, maybe I'm not sure whether this is the right forum. Chairperson, you'll correct me and call me to order this one. I just want to find out whether there's any progress in the working group on, let's put the transmission side, there were still outstanding issues on ISMO. Is the working group making any significant progress on consensus by various parties? In particularly by ESOM, whether it's compensation for assets, what needs to happen on these customers, if you could clarify those issues. Thank you.
Given that, whatever the case may be, they will have to be taken on board as we move along in processing the bill. That's all for now. Go for it.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I think the issue of the end state, the end state that that what this is currently based on is what is espoused in the Energy White Paper of 1998, I think. Yeah. So I think obviously at some point we did bring some of the issues, you know, that come from the Energy White Paper to here. But I think probably what we need to do, given that some of the issues or some of the aspirations of the Energy White Paper of 1998 did not materialize, you know, as a result of, let's say, for example, the RAV, etc. Okay, probably we will have to go back to that paper and highlight the issues that have not worked and probably redraw them, you know, because of the challenges of what we have learned in those processes, and reaffirm some of those positions of the white paper that could still happen within the current environment and those that probably need a rethink. You know, obviously, I'm speaking under question. We had a summit around 2007, which was supposed to take some of those measures forward, but we have not engaged in all the measures that came out of the summit thoroughly for us to be able to say, okay, this particular position now has been revised, you know, only to what we had from the summit and from what the developments have been. So probably it's something that we still need to revisit, you know, because now what we're doing with the ISMO is just one piece of the puzzle which we are very firm, you know, in terms of what are the benefits that we're going to achieve by going through the ISMO route. So basically, the experience from 2008 up to now, you know, confirms that ISMO is what we need to do. So basically, I think on that one, we are very firm. but obviously on other things that still affect the electricity value chain, probably we need to sort of put some more volume in terms of going back there and checking whether do we change here or are we still on track. With then what all that has been done, then we will be then able to communicate a much firmer end stage, you know, than we have done before. You know, but obviously that is not going to be an overnight thing where we say, okay, some official in the department then wakes up and say, okay, this is what we need to do. You know, it must still be a broad process where there is consultation and we take lessons from where we failed before and obviously try and then move forward, you know, in one. With regards to the question from Honorable Freiling, where you were asking that if you say ISMO were to go out and contract, who would underwrite those contracts? I think if, let's say, as the bill stands, if ISMO is established, obviously the national balance sheet will have to underwrite those commitments. You know, the current renewable power producer that we have signed on, they are currently based on the strength of that balance sheet. You know, that balance sheet is behind them. You know, even if ISMO will be hived off Eskom in the current guise now, basically the national balance sheet will have to stand behind those contracts until transmission moves that way or whatever the case might be. But obviously a mechanism would have to be devised at some point if transmission doesn't follow suit to ISMO to ensure, or maybe we make a decision that, okay, the national balance sheet must be a permanent backstop to ISMO. You know, obviously we have to work those merits at a particular point in time. But currently, ISMO, in the current guise, will have to have that national fiscal backing it. This is how we've done this current round. In fact, all the rounds that you will be seeing of the renewable IPP are currently bent on the strength of the national balance sheet. The question from Honorable Lotto, okay, regarding the procure, buy, okay, I'll try and explain that. I know it's very difficult sometimes. But, okay, ERA, Section 34 of ERA says that the minister makes a determination upon which the minister determines who buys the energy and who procures. Right. So the distinction that we make, that distinction is also as part in the new gen regulations. Basically, procure in this sense, it means facilitating and making arrangements and affairs, etc., you know, finalizing contracts, that kind of thing. Like, that is what we're currently doing in this renewable IPP program, but it's not what we want to do. Right? Basically, what we want to do is we want the minister to just make a determination that next year we need to buy 3,000 megawatts of coal plants or gas, whatever the case might be. Then the person who is then designated as, okay, let me say, if we were to have the ISMO, the minister will say South Africa needs 3,000 megawatts from a coal source or whatever, nuclear, gas, whatever the case might be. Then ISMO then will help them to run with the arranging and trading of that energy. Right. But in the current setup, the minister makes that determination, the department runs with the arranging, right? And then the trading of that energy then falls within ESCOM. Yeah. But if ISMO then takes off, the minister will just make a determination and then the arranging and trading will be housed with ISMO. But now, why it happens different is because of this perceived, or well, it depends, you know, this conflict of interest with ESCOM. So ESCOM cannot run the arranging, etc., ESCOM then has to do with trading, because then now these guys are competitors of ESCOM, so they're not going to submit their documents to ESCOM. So basically that's why now as the department, we assist with that function of running the contracts and arranging, etc., etc. But the department doesn't want to do that because we are not geared for that kind of thing. Thanks, Chair.
No, see, he didn't answer my last question.
Okay, the compensation, what we have done with the treasury, we have, because we're expecting treasury to lead us in matters of compensation, and because, you know, they understand books better than we do. So basically, we first had one meeting where we tried to come up with a roadmap in terms of how do we bed these issues down. But we have not progressed that much such that I can give a conclusive feedback as to have we really made tangible progress in that regard.
Through you, Chairperson, I think the other question was on, I think it was key customers. It was flagged by Eskom as a contentious issue from their side.
Okay, well, we have it. The reason why we haven't is that once the bill has been deliberated upon, and then we know what stance gets taken, then that will then speed us to then formulate this regulation, because basically what we promised in the bill is that we will then have to come up with regulations to basically give effect to say this category of customer could buy there, this category of customer could buy here, this category of customer could buy there. But obviously we've got a rough idea in terms of which customers must go first, you know, and which customers must follow, etc., etc. But we have not stated that, why they will bed that to issuing a regulation that talks to those customer classes.
Thank you, Jay. I hear what you're saying on the white paper on energy in 1998. The problem is that, I mean, it gives us some guidelines in terms of the first steps that need to be taken, which we haven't taken in the last 14 years. We only get into it now. What it also says, I mean, it doesn't give us an end state. What it in fact says, and I've got it here, it says that government will initiate a comprehensive study on future market structures for the South African electricity supply industry. Now, has that study in fact been done? And if not, why not? And the issue is that we need something more concrete than what's in the energy white paper. That was the guideline that came from 1998. It gave us some direction. And because I just feel that everything seems to be happening the wrong way around. So we're introducing things like the ISMA bill, we're introducing things like the ERA Second Amendment bill, the NEO bill as well, which are all part of this restructuring of the electricity industry. But do we as government have a comprehensive vision as to where we want the end state to be? What is the ideal state? And it's very difficult for us as a committee to be able to analyze the legislation come to us in terms of what our ultimate objective should be. And that's why I am pushing for this. I really think that this is something that needs to come. We need that vision from government so that we can then judge it. Because otherwise, this is going to be a piecemeal program. We're not going to know what the unintended consequences of various pieces of legislation are and how they're achieving an ultimate objective. And I just implore the department to really concentrate on doing this. It's something that came up from so many of the speakers at the public hearings, that we really, really need this.
Yes, Honorable Helling, I think it came out very, very clear. I remember the Communities Faith group was also very, very firm and quite harsh on us, that look, you're handling this whole thing going to piss me. Anyway, let me not answer for you.
Okay, no, thanks, Chair. Okay, probably what would be helpful here is, because as I indicated in my earlier response, it's the structure that you're talking about. There was a study which was done in 1990. Okay, we are going to. There was a multi-market model structure that was on the cards that was going to be implemented around 1993 or 1995 or somewhere there. But that structure collapsed, you know, owing to why the electricity market, because of the state of the electricity market at the time, you know, this was now after California disaster, etc. So basically, we were going to go that multi-market model route, but obviously after the collapse of California and other experiences that happened worldwide, then we felt maybe this is not the way to go. So that was withdrawn. So I agree with you in terms of say, okay, we probably then have to revisit, as well as say, we need to revisit some of those things that said, you know, so that then now we can now recast a new clear framework for everybody to see. Okay, and then in the era that we are revising, that will be coming here, we are also trying to address some of the issues, but to have the comprehensive view that you are leading to, obviously I'll have to take that back to the principals that look, this is what the committee is looking for, can we expedite it so that everybody has a clear picture of what needs to happen.
But Mof, I don't know if we were here when we worked up to our resolution, but may have been updated. You see, one or another, our resolution captures what you're saying and what Honorable Herling is saying. Although it's saying it in a very broad way that we should, or the minister should address the restructuring of the electricity industry sector, not just the industry sector as a whole, as a matter of urgency. We leave it so open and generic like that because it includes a lot of things. It includes policy review, it includes legislative review, it includes look at program, it includes quite a number of things. I mean, even internally within the department itself, whether you need to restructure or beef up your area, because amongst other things, we talk of a sector that provides 85% of the country's energy, you know, needs. So I trust and hope you take into account what I just said to when raising Honorable Felling's point. It's good, and also I'm sure you'll appreciate as to why the thing keeps on coming, you know, because it's a signal that we feel quite rattled, you know. We're steering the ship, you know. We sense the vision. But as I usually use the term, the roadmap. I suppose one of the things that's fairly important is for the department to explore whether it's not the time to consider another energy summit. A lot of things have come up ever since the last one. You know, IPP is a reality. Renewable energy is more than a reality. A couple of other things, you know, are coming to the fore, you know, in terms of a supply of energy, you know. You know the list, you know. So you have also indicated yourselves, you know, the rights issue, you know, and the questions you usually keep on raising. What field in the vacuum post rights? Because one of the things that comes up, if you remember, I don't know if you were around, when we were handling the challenges in the distribution industry, it became clear that was not addressed, you know. So, and we take it in that spirit, you know, when I'm reinforcing what I'm saying, and saying that this is the thing that resolution, that, you know, we'll try our level best, but we're aware that, you know, one of the foes in the car seems to be having a slow puncture. we'll still, you know, but at some stage we really need to ensure that wheel with slow puncture is quickly, you know, remedied so that the car can move, properly. Mama Tue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Although I'm partly covered by what you just said, my worry was also on this conflict of interest of ESCOM. Do you see us winning in implementing ISMO? Because I was also part of the committee
when the Reds failed. The Reds past was taken through by cabinet, but it failed. So are we really heading, are we in the right direction where we are now? Because it looks like we are going back to the white paper of 1998, but the paper of 1998 failed us. Is it not going to fail us again? Thank you.
Even before you answer that, I don't think the paper failed us. We tested the paper, and it isn't implementation where there are challenges. I don't think it'll answer, but I just want us to make clear that it isn't the implementation of white paper. Of course, the time there needs to be review on certain aspects. And the other thing is that Mama Tibera will also have the right and authority to take up certain issues on our own volition as well, as Parliament. Should we see that the department at times, you know, has got lapses, or there are certain areas where that they are not moving at the speed we'd like to, sometimes we need to help them to pick up the speed. But I'm not a new formula on Crow.
Thanks, Mayor Matibe. The failure or no failure of ISMO, it's not a matter of the draft bill, probably that would fail, but that would be the spirit of the industry, which would fail, because in this house, Eskom itself, they were speaking with their own mouth, saying when they support the ISMO bill, you know. So if that entity supports the bill, then as the chair puts it, it would be a matter of implementation, you know, that fails. But if the idea itself is supported by all, it's a matter of us working a little bit harder to understand what the challenges could be and how dedicated and committed are we to solve things that we foresee could lead us to fail. You know, if Eskom honestly say they support the bill, meaning it, and then to me, I do not foresee us failing. But obviously, if then people say one thing, meaning the other, then anything could happen. You know, but obviously, I trust and believe them when they say they support the bill, and I believe them that they'll do anything within their power to make sure that we form a successful ISMO.
Thank you for reminding me. There was a question here that progress by the working group. I'm glad TV is around. I'm glad Eskom is around. Because at the end of the day, we're team energy, you know? I like this term, team energy. I know you wear other hats, Transnet, you fly, and other things, but when you're here, you're team energy, because our focus is energy. I must express my uneasiness for now for the working group to be slow on those things. I'm sure honourable members will all agree. They don't have to wait for us, because they know issues were raised during submission, isn't it? Yes, the department on its own responded as the sponsor of the bill, but the team, the working group as a team, still has to be seized with all those key issues raised in the submissions, so that as we are now starting to process the bill in detail, they should be ready. And I'm a source of they should be ready. As I say, what about the security of supply? You know, what about the end state? What about the K-sex? What about the HR issues? What about the contracts? You know, there are a couple of things. They would say, fine. Already we're ready on this. Oh, sorry, can you give us some time? We're almost finished on this risky issue. As a team. No waiting for us. Please, Mbofu, I think you need to, fortunately, you've got two other members of the team around here. Don't wait, you know, these issues that have been raised, just get cracking on them. You know, they are very, very intricate. I mean, even the impact study, in fact, that's not long enough to discuss last year. I think the impact study, although it was talking about the transmission, but it actually raised quite a number of things. Even if we were to go back and just focus on the ISMO, you know, processing of the ISMO bill itself, you know. So please take that message now that I said that the working group, you know, must move with, must maintain the momentum and the speed that it had, you know, in the past, because we were on the bill. Mbofu, I've heard you going through all what you have indicated, you know, in terms of the bill, the conundrum, the logic and other things. But I just want to highlight and emphasize one area, and if you could comment on that, it would be very helpful. Amongst other things that I see in the bill, or in the establishment of ISMO, is the prospects of improving operational efficiency, particularly in the supply industry. I'm not trying to think, because this came back, you know, when we say some of the things, the confidence, yes, about the IPP is not very, very clear, but also, it was in response to the question by Honorable Mloto, that of the role of the minister vis-a-vis the entry of the ISMO now, you know, and some of the things that we are doing. And with my little knowledge, I'm quick to say, amongst other things, that on its own put us in a quantum of some inefficiency when a department is forced to do certain things as a policy department, which is just compelled by the situation as it is to do them. Otherwise, it would have been better that they are handled elsewhere. So now enter ISMO, then you start seeing, you know, efficiencies being improved. And remember, I don't have the bill is here, isn't it?
Yes,
at the back. Because I like what is written at the. Sorry, honourable members. I don't know if it was at the end. In terms of the objects. I'm sorry, I don't have to waste your time, but somewhere it indicated that one of the attempts the bill will do is to ensure that the affordability of prices is enhanced. Not that it will be the only factor, but it's amongst the factors, because it introduces these efficiencies which would bring down costs elsewhere. I'm sure you expect would know. I'm rambling on this because I want everybody to monitor what I'm saying and to see it coming out, and even comment on it down the line, that really this will be amongst the reality, no matter to whatever level and dimension, that it will help to enhance efficiencies. Because when we enhance operational efficiencies, we expect, amongst other things, some reduction of costs here and there, and therefore the price, you know, stability, or not the price, but the price comes at least, we're not going to smile that to us, come tomorrow. But it gives us prospects that we can even post the MIPT3 once the end of MIPT ISMO comes in. see a tool that can, ensure that, as I say, the inefficiencies that are here either get reversed in full or partially, and therefore it gives us a good footage to start exploring, you know, some review or revision of the prices. Sorry to ramble. I think it's good, you know, to just express that and get from you. But I don't expect you to answer it in full. But, you know, I want one of the members to keep this one very, very much in our mind as we move along. Not even during the bill itself, but even post, you know, conclusion of the ISMO bill.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, maybe if I can just comment on the issue that you've just raising now, the issue of prices and efficiencies, etc., etc., because that issue is very important. As the regulator is building up towards tomorrow to tell us what they have decided, you know, I think everybody would be watching. But because what ISMO with regard to the statement that you've just read that okay, ISMO is going to sort of harvest these efficiencies, etc., etc., with regards to pricing. Basically, ISMO would be in a better position to kickstart that process of harvesting those efficiencies, because what then ISMO will enable the sector to do, or us to do, is to better understand the cost chain thoroughly and properly from generation level to distribution level. Because currently, the cost of the direction that takes place in the industry, it is skewed in the sense that it is not influenced to a large extent by policy of government. Right? That is normally is influenced by entities which therefore create this kind of imbalance. And upon ISMO being established and trying to understand these things, this is when then we will be in a position of getting a clearer sight in terms of which sectors, you know, could benefit more from cross-subsidies, and in the manner that we're currently cross-subsidizing, is it an efficient manner, right? But in the absence of that, we've got little faith, you know, in terms of how the cross-subsidies get applied, you know, because we are almost at arm's length. You know, when we interfere with the current entities about subsidies, then it talks to their bottom line, it talks to all sorts of other things, you know. So upon this transparency that we are longing for from ISMO, then we'll be in a better position to sort of come with policies, if we need policies or mechanisms, you know, to deal with the issue of cross-subsidies. But in the absence of the ISMO, we are at the whims of the current players, you know, that dictate or determine, you know, the level of subsidies and to whom these subsidies go to. You know, as the department, we've got a little say, you know, in terms of those things. So that statement is crafted upon this background, that once ISMO is operational, then we'll basically see to a better extent, you know, the level and where are they going and how do they get distributed. Because now we do not see that, you know, we hear that it's okay, subsidies are going there, you know, we hear. But we do not have a mechanism, we do not see, you know, thoroughly
in terms of care, are those facilities that are claimed to be going there, are they actually going there? And is the quantum and volume right that goes there? Is it what is supposed to go there? You know. So basically, an ISMO would be an enabler, you know, to inform policy better in terms of understanding the issues of subsidies, you know, that exist within the sector. And probably then from the police department side, then we will then be able to probably put better policies to say, okay, these are the subsidies that are required. This is where these subsidies must go, you know, because now we sort of see clearer in terms of what is happening, you know, behind the veil. You know, so currently now what we try to pronounce that there is a veil between us and where the action is. You know, so that is the current problem. So we think that ISMO will basically help remove this veil so that we could see exactly what's happening beyond. Okay, thanks, Chair. That was just a comment on that issue. Okay, and then now when we come to this table, because this table probably has got over 100 and something points, so I'm not sure whether I must go through each and every point, and because I think the DOE responses are articulated, you know, there in the table itself. But fair to say that in this table, okay, there are issues that are not ISMO issue per se, that are issues mainly for ERA. Like, and in us developing the ERA, those issues that are trying to talk to ERA, we have taken them to ERA. And then obviously then there are issues that are sort of language or drafting issues, you know, that maybe we just have to articulate better, you know, what we were saying in a particular point that the public raised issue on. So I'm glad that we've got our help here from the state law advisor. So the state law advisor would be looking, you know, at those issues in terms of language and the drafting, whether exactly the point that we try to articulate, you know, versus what commentators during the public comment said, is it what we say? So basically we have dealt with some of those things and we are still dealing with those things. And then obviously there are those issues where then as the department we say, okay, we will do regulations to do X, Y, Z, you know, in order to give full effect towards the bill is trying to achieve. And we have looked at those by and large, right? Although the ones that definitely need regulations, we have not added down the regulations themselves. So maybe I will try and go through some of these things, but I will try and put some pace, because as I said, that some of the issues are ERA matters, but then some obviously are ISMO matters of what we are here for.
Remember, this is a refresher. We're supposed to have gone through this. And on your side, and together on the Mini, is to hit on the key issues.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. Okay, I'll maybe just go to points by point, but I'll just be first where I think the issue is better elsewhere. Okay, let's just maybe... Okay, there are points from Professor Eberhardt, right, where he tries to sort of... Basically, I think the message that the ISMO is constrained or will be constrained by powers of the minister, you know, in one way or the other, right? And basically, what we've said and also it's similar to what I've responded to the Honorable Mloto. The separation of powers between procuring and buying, right? It is our intention that once ISMO is up and going, the department is not going to be running around with the procurement issues. The department will just be doing a determination, and then obviously ISMO takes over and runs with it. But the what is important is to explain why the era or the minister still retain that determination at best to say, okay, he can pronounce on who to buy and who to procure, whatever. It's because in the advent of distributed generation, that is small power plants that can be embedded elsewhere, sometimes it's not going to be prudent for ISMO to run with small plants that we want all over the country. Right? As an example, here in Cape Town or in any municipality for that matter, there could be a small opportunity that does not make a lot of sense for ISMO to chase it because it's too small for considering the grand scheme of things that ISMO is dealing with.
For example, is it UG where there is a major ITC-driven sawmill arrangement? What if they work out there with the municipality to generate some electricity for them?
Exactly, yeah, those things, yeah. So basically, now, if something is not attractive to ISMO, so ISMO will not have appetite to chase that thing. But for a municipality with its community or with other partners, whatever the case might be, they can go and chase, what do you call these things now, some bioplant kind of thing, you know, which makes sense for the municipality to pursue because it's in their locality, it benefits the community, and also it makes sense for their bigger scheme of things as a municipality. So a minister will still have to be able to pronounce that, okay, municipality X, you can buy from this sawmill here, it claims that it can produce power, let's say, small number, 2 megawatts kind of thing. 2 megawatts, ISMO is not interested in a 2 megawatt plant. You know, it's too small for ISMO. So basically, that is retained. But for large programs like the Kubeks, the Medupis, that kind of thing, that is going to be ISMO's bread and butter. Right? So basically, a minister is going to make a determination on that, then ISMO runs with it. I hope I'm clear, the chair. Yeah.
How does this thing work?
So, okay, basically that just deals with points from number 1 to 3.
I'm used to ELEC now. I don't know how this computer works.
Okay, then the integration of planning, procurement, dispatch and selling. Okay, basically, ISMO will do that, everything there, in the biggest, most things. Right? For, they will buy, they will plan, they will procure, and trade the energy and sell. That is what ISMO will do. The point number 4.
Yeah, I think this computer is really messing me up.
Okay, with regards to procuring, the allocation of power between the role players, okay, that is the subject of the IRP. Right? The Integrated Resource Plan speaks to the energy needs in the future as well as the quantum in terms of how much, you know, of those. So basically, the regulation that emanates from the Electricity Regulation Act speaks to how that process unfolds. You know, there is a determination, there is a procurement, a process, you know, which provides the guidance as to how this procurement happens. That is still also linked with Section 34 determination, because basically the era speaks to a broad determination, but the regulations themselves then take the determination into details and then start talk to how issues must unfold. So that's why in the book the way it says actually they just say they not, because basically we explain that we've got what is existing now is adequate to deal with all those issues. Basically we're not gonna take any action there. Then there is a point which says IRP should not be absolute but rather indicative. Okay, there is a dichotomy there. When you say an IRP must not be absolute, must be indicative. Because then now what it does, if it's merely indicative, it means the plan that you have is not maintained or is not concrete. But it means you can change it any time, at any point. So we're trying to avoid having a guideline which people can break any time and whenever they want to break it. Because they say that no, this thing is just an indication. We can still do what we want or we can still do other things. So an IRP is a very focused plan, but what it does within itself, it provides a mechanism coupled with Section 34 determination that in case the IRP does not deliver what you want at a particular point in time, that's where then now the determination comes in again. Where now, all of a sudden, we're following the IRP, but we've discovered there's gas in the Karoo. But now, what the Karoo gas does, as an example, say, okay, maybe now you don't have to build Medupi or Gosile, because then now you've got this gas. Right? The minister still has the power to change, you know, as per the circumstances. But it's not a willy-nilly change that will each time now we feel unhappy about a particular thing, we keep on changing. Therefore it means you don't have a plan. You know, it's too flexible. So basically an IRP must be a plan that is that has got some rigidity so that people comply with it, because it provides a long-term guidance. So people must comply with it. Unless there's something drastic that goes wrong with it, then there is a mechanism to deviate from it. In the era, we provide for deviation from the IRP. But if the IRP were to be just a merely an indicative thing, then it means we do not have a plan. Because then now each time a person is going to come and say, well, look, I've got this nice thing that I want to do. So forget about this IRP. Let's follow my own idea now that I have. So basically that's why we're saying that we're not going to change, because an IRP is an absolute, but obviously it's got mechanism to take it from it should the need arise. Transparency criteria for unsolicited bids.
Don't be that detailed.
Okay.
Look at cases.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be that detailed.
Okay, maybe all those what you see on your screen, basically the combination of the era and ISMO and regulations, basically they deal with those conclusively. We're happy with the provisions that are in the regulations as well as the era. I'll go to the ones where we say we're going to take an action probably and then explain. Because when we say nine, it means we are happy with what we have and probably the little adjustments that we're making as we're going along. Okay, Competition Commission. Is more customers need to be identified. Okay, basically the action there is what I've alluded to before, is that we will be defining the ISMO customers, you know, the customer classes, you know, to say, okay, the customer classes can buy from ISMO because of XYZ, So we have not bedded that one down, but we are working on it. Access to the transmission grid needs to be related. We are taking that issue to the amendment of the ERA. The ERA basically is going to be dealing with that, because the other key thing that we are addressing in the ERA is that ERA did not provide a definition for dispatch. So basically we are providing a dispatch in the ERA as well as licensing in that regard, so that whenever we establish this new entity called ISMO, it's going to be licensed accordingly.
You are referring to 12, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine.
Okay, a framework to ensure financial stability of ISMO needs to be in place prior to ISMO being operationalized. Okay, a business case for ISMO will be developed in consultation with the Treasury to ensure the financial stability of ISMO prior to its operation. Basically, that is the standard procedure that we follow with the National Treasury if ever we're establishing a new entity.
So which one is that now?
That is 21.
Yeah, just keep on numbering, because
okay.
We know that we are jumping from one area to another.
Oh, okay, that's my approach. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think 22 is clear. Okay, we're going to section 25, transfer of employees, labor relations, sex up. Sufficient and law can be deleted in this context. Okay, I think there we're just saying a section to be deleted accordingly, and references to the Labor Relations Act will be made with regards to the transfer of employees. Okay, definitions will be reviewed, such as generation licensing and integrated transmission system. Basically, we have undergone a process where we are aligning definitions between the ERA and the Act. Sorry, between ISMO and the Act. But obviously, definitions with regards to system, the Electricity Regulation Act is a superior legislation with regards to the terms that are being used in the industry. ISMO is just establishing an agency within that industry. The number 30, basically we will add that catch-all function area to be provided should the need arise, but obviously transmitter has been defined and you should alleviate the concern raised. And section 4.2c, I think the section is fine, and obviously all those have been accommodated. Okay, I think section point 31, section 32, I think the issue will be addressed contractually, because under the bill, you know, if the letter, it's one of those things that will be catered for, you know, in the provisions going forward, you know, in terms of what exactly you tweak to make this thing read better and obviously for it to make sense. Okay, 32 agreed. Okay, then we'll skip a lot. Okay, section 38. Not clear who is responsible for expansion planning of the transmission system, how ISMO should exchange information. I think the action there is that ISMO needs to be given appropriate powers to influence network expansion. I think what basically will have to happen there is that we need to enhance that provision, because if those institutions will be two separate institutions, you know, it's difficult just to say that these two entities will meet, and then upon the meeting, then ISMO's view will be taken into account, you know. So basically we need to strengthen the direction in terms of how exactly must ISMO go about influencing decisions with regards to transmission network expansion. They are currently experiencing this challenge, you know, in the ICT program. Obviously it's not an insurmountable problem, but obviously we just have to bear it down and be and have a nice framework that all parties can agree to and understand how a transmission network expansion problem should arise, must be addressed, you know, other than just saying, well, the two parties will meet and assume that they will be able to resolve the issue. So basically we just put some mechanisms there to facilitate how they work together to ensure that there is no transmission network constraints.
That's out of interest. Who are the players there?
Well, okay. In this regard, you've got ISMO doing an overall planning, expansion planning. Right. Let's say ISMO says we want to do a power station in Northern Cape, but now ISMO does not have the mandate to then now build a line from that station to where power is required. Now transmission is the entity which has got the mandate to build the line, but then transmission says, well, I do not have money to build the line from there to wherever. You are. So now there is now a constraint. The entity, they just got the mandate to plan, okay, here I identify that there needs to be a power plant in a particular area, but he cannot evacuate that power himself. He's dependent on another person to sort of put the infrastructure, right? So also, you could have, with regards to the IPP, renewable, you could be having it. I would say he wants to build a solar park in Northern Cape, because that's where the solar resource is best. But now, the person does not have the mandate to build the transmission infrastructure to take the power from where the resource is to where it is required. So basically, you need to have a seamless process there where, okay, once the ISMO and the person tasked with national planning has planned that we need to have a power generation facility in a particular area, therefore, there needs to be a seamless undertaking from the transmission entity to say, okay, we're then going to make funds available to construct the infrastructure to take the power from that particular location to where it is required. So we've got to facilitate that there is a seamless understanding between the two, that once ISMO has planned that there needs to be a power plant somewhere, then transmission also has an obligation, a concomitant obligation, to sort of take that power from where it is, where it is required. Obviously, that problem would not occur if ISMO now is the same as transmission, because then they will know it will just be an internal arrangement. But now, if things are separate, then it means there needs to be some framework so that the two parties can work together. Okay, on 40, clarification, that generators outside of South Africa are not licensed. Okay, we agree. And obviously that generation has been deleted. The section now is going to refer to licensees. basically the point was that NERSA does not have jurisdiction outside of South Africa. So now if there is plant outside the country, how to bring it in? As long as the entity outside of the South African border is licensed, therefore ISMO can deal with that entity, provided they have ISMO has got an import license. So basically the point there was that we sort of presupposing that NERSA can license an entity outside South African borders, which is not the case.
I'm sure 10 minutes break could be helpful. We'll be needed for some time on okay members. Yeah, let's take a photo now.
Will the contract be open and visible? The nature of these contracts are such that there is a lot of sensitive and confidential stuff. So basically, most of those contracts are not open to the public. Obviously, certain information is available, but the contract itself is not available to the public. And then we jump to 49. Transfer of assets clause needs to be reworked to make it clear what assets are to be transferred to ISMO. Okay, with basically action there is a provision under section 39 allowing the minister to develop regulations related to the transfer of assets will be added. So basically that's the action we will be taking. point 53 order the interruption of supply in terms of power shortages. Okay, we've redrafted that to take the input as provided. Okay, section 54. I think basically there's a management issue. I think we'll basically be reviewing the whole management structure, whether is it really what we want to say, but basically took the inputs that was provided. We just clean, you know, everything under IMO management, because this was not the only point that was raised there. And the staff, same thing. Okay, point 58, IMO jurisdiction, integrated power system not well defined could include municipal systems. Basically not taking any action there, because it is not clear why municipal systems should be excluded from the definition, as much of the municipalities have their own control centers, so they should work closely with ISMO, because each region has got its own control center, which basically has got communication with the national control system. So basically when we say system, it's everything from high voltage to low voltage. It's a seamless connected system in electrical terms, although there could be various authorities along the line. And then we run. Okay, 64. It is envisaged that all ISMO tariffs will be subject to NERSA approval. This is not correct for willing, buying, etc., etc. Well, all tariffs, including the willing tariffs as well, those tariffs are subject to NERSA approval. NERSA does a guideline for willing charges, etc., etc., which then has to be adopted by all players. So basically, NERSA sees all tariffs within the electricity cost chain. But obviously, it's an error matter, but just to re-emphasize the point, all tariffs, NERSA must approve all tariffs. Okay, transitional provisions. I think we had a lengthy debate on those ones. We will basically...
Where's that one?
66, okay, forgot to mention the number. Yeah, probably, although you say there that this will be addressed to regulations, but obviously it will have a big bearing in terms of how the PCB sees this whole matter, you know, because basically we would like to accommodate everything that the PCE will raise with us, you know, pertaining to this legislation. But obviously we understand that transitional provisions must be very clear and must take into account the objectives. Okay, I think this one, 69, it's the same as the other ones above regarding staff and both. It's a corporate governance kind of issue. I think all those are clear. Run. 79, transitional provisions limited mostly to assets and staff transfers without much detail on how existing contracts should be dealt with or what licenses ISMO should be issued with in terms of the era. Suggested that the general section be included, empowering the minister to make transitional regulations aimed at dealing with issues as they arise. Basically, the action that will take that sufficient enabling regulations making powers for ministers to ensure that implementation issues that arise around assets and stuff transfer, customer contracts and transfer of customers. Basically, those details must be provided by means of regulation, and obviously, it's a matter of how comprehensive the framework that we're going to put together to enable all these transitional provisions. We agree that it needs to be a strong framework that talks to those issues. Point 85, unbundling of generation and transmission tariffs. Basically, we're saying after the establishment of ISMO, there will be a need to do the unbundling of tariffs in accordance with the energy white paper, the pricing policy, as well as basically address any other pricing offshoot that is going to be coming out of this ISMO establishment. Basically, though the overriding point is that NERSA will still have the mandate to oversee all tariffs, as I've mentioned before.
Just as a comment,
yes.
If you see 86,
86.
One of members, once again, you can see how this one initiative triggers expectations on other areas. How important it is really some states to really handle this overall restructuring, you know. Because innocently, the SECB is saying that, what about FTE? And unfortunately, ISMO ends up a wholesale selling, you know. But there are those expectations. So really, we've got to roll our sleeves, you know, down the line and ensure that we handle the whole sector. I know it's not just
yeah.
a comment to the member.
Okay, point 98, timeline for transition of ISMO functions unclear. Okay, basically our view is that these issues will be dealt with in the transitional arrangements, as well as the business plan that will basically be issued, because we are saying at some point that minister will have to announce as this thing unfolds, you know, the stages that we'll be taking, because we're saying that the business is not just going to take to go once off, it's going to be sessions of the business, so there will be determinations that will be going with those stages, so that everything happens smoothly and try and reduce instability within the electricity sector.
Fine, but honourable members, I think we'll have to have a hawk's eye on that area. Not so.
Yes.
I wish all of us were here. We just have to work out our own mini project then as to how we monitor that one area. Because it's not just a matter of making sure that things are done. That's one part, but it's also to ensure that the level of confidence that has been generated for all up to now is maintained, you know. Your service providers who have borrowed monies, your funders themselves, and your potential funders in future, because they all will be, you know, watching this one area. It's fine, the bill is there, but then how meticulous or how professional and proficient are we in ensuring the rollout, you know, from incubation to da 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 until we see this baby standing. Hello. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. 86
I don't understand it quite clearly, because I think we had that impression of when we put ISMO on the map, ISMO is going to lower the prices. So if we say ISMO is not supplying the customers, I'm a bit puzzled.
Whole state. Okay, very good. That's not me, that's you. I'm not the expert.
Okay, thanks, sir. How ISMO basically is going to influence the mitigation of high prices is through the efficiencies that ISMO is going to harvest. ISMO is going to enable us that we are seeing things beyond the veil that currently exists. Because what is happening now is that the utilities are doing their own thing behind the veil. So we do not see what is happening there. They determine these subsidies themselves without us, you know, having full confidence in terms of how they arrive at those. We do not know the quantum, we do not know the quantity. All we know is that okay, these things affect their bottom line in one way or the other. So once ISMO is on board, we then will be in a position of seeing transparently how much subsidies are in the industry and where are those subsidies going. And therefore, from the policy side, then we then should be able to develop a better policy after having seen what the nature of these subsidies, and then subsequently direct them where we think these subsidies must go to. So it's not going to be the ISMO's task per se to lower these subsidies or to decide where they go. But ISMO will enable us to see the amount and where are these subsidies going. Then from there, then we will be able to develop probably a much better responsive policy for subsidies and overall passing scheme after having seen what is going on. Because now we do see exactly what is going on, which I hear people say.
I think worldwide, I'm going to look at everybody to shake head off or not. Subsidies are always a hot potato. You know, we've seen what happened in Nigeria. Where else? You know, yeah. You see, there's always a lot of debate about the impact of subsidies on the efficiency, not only on just electricity or energy only, but on the economy generally. And I suppose one can say the entry of ISMO is Operation Shake Up to make us, you know, look at subsidies, cost subsidizations once again. Not with the intention of throwing it away, but most probably of restructuring it such that we feel happier. You know, I can see Mabofu's emphasis. It's just one part to me. The other part is to say now that the end of ISMO will help us to be clearer about the subsidies and cross-subsidization as a practice, you know, is there adequate policy on that? You know, are there adequate guidelines? You know, are the relevant legislative laws that are there having adequate regulation for that matter, you know? Eventually, you find that people say, oh, the laws are fine. But when one says, no. But take a look at the regulations. Actually, that's where the gaps are, you know. I would like us to look at that angle. Hence, where I would go for my point of operational, you know, efficiency, you know. I would like us to keep on monitoring that, you know. It's a nice catchword, but we've got to ensure that it's meaningful or it ends up just being a catchword. Okay. Kubapukulwa.
And then we jump to 101. Okay, no, this one has been addressed. It's a matter of customers. How do we determine customer categories? We've spoken to that.
Okay, we are about finished. Okay, 103. In the event that an IPP and ISMO cannot reach agreement, such IPP can only sell to another customer with the minister's permission as per the ERA B and ISMO Act. Hence, the minister can, by defining customers, preclude ISMO from selling to anybody else. Okay, basically, we are unpacking the whole issue of customers in the ERA, although for ISMO purposes, we are just doing a regulation that talks to the customers that must buy from ISMO. But basically, the ERA itself is going to sort of deal with the issue of customers, you know. And also, we're trying to broaden and bring to light all facets of trading, you know, in the ERA, you know, because there is wholesale trading at a high level, then there is trading in office blocks or in residential areas, etc., etc., etc. So the whole package of trading and customers eventually is going to find its way in the ERA, where we think that we'll do a much better job in terms of dealing with that issue. But for immobile purposes, we're just going to be doing a regulation that goes to large customers that will be able to buy power directly from ISMO.
Take your time. I'm just to make sure that, as I say, we've picked up all key areas you want to draw our attention to.
Yeah. Okay. 108. Not clear who ISMO customers will be. Okay. I think this point we've covered it a number of times, but I think it just signifies the importance of us finalizing this regulation that is going to categorize customers, so that when ISMO comes to life and lights, so those that must buy from it, they know themselves. But also it talks to another point where in previous deliberations, you know, there are issues about contracts that ESCOM has entered into with some various customers, which could be the subject of ISMO. So basically it talks to how basically we sort of unpack the whole issue where certain customers that currently are ESCOM customers but may in future be ISMO customers. So basically it's the whole issue, you know, put together in terms of how do we deal with those contracts that are between ESCOM and certain customers that may find themselves buying from ISMO. So how do we deal with those contracts, how do we move them from being ESCOM customers to ISMO customers and vice versa, that kind of thing. So those are the things that I think this just puts those into a forecast that we need to expedite our work in terms of understanding all the issues around customer categories and various issues that affect those customers. No, I think we are about done, because most of the things now is just a matter of things that we need to, most of the comments that follow there we agree with, so it's a matter of just cleaning up the document, so that the document says it speaks the intention, you know, of the department, and it makes for easy reading, you know, so that people quickly get a picture. You know, it's a drafting issue that probably we still have to improve, you know, regarding those issues that follow this point that I've just spoken to.
Can I ask a third question? I see in 111, you say you don't need to set set up subsidiaries. What if a couple of years down the line you need to see the need of subsidiaries? I always said that cost of that office question. The assumption is that from my side to you that ISMO will get off, but then what if now its work gets so complex? We'll follow what you mean. But it has came in my mind that you know, this is the area of complexities, you know. If you're given at the functions that ISMO is handling, you know. But never mind, this is a state only entity. Maybe people don't want to have a lot of subsidiaries, but I'm also provoking members about that. From my side, thanks very much. You know, honorable members, okay, fine. But just before I forget this, one other thing we overlooked, which I feel we should have done long ago, was we have asked for an era amendment bill, a small bill matrix. You know, something that is able to say which areas that interlock in terms of the legislative process that we need to look into. We've had, honourable members, a briefing on the ERA amendment bill, isn't it? It was a standalone right there on its own. Now we're having, you know, now it takes time for us, you know, in what it takes to bring the blend, you know. Whereas Kamini, together with the Advocate Banara and also the department, it would just help us on that, you know. It depends, I mean, it's just a factual thing, as it is highlighted here, you know. The cross-referencing, can even call it that way. You know, not only something that it's all said and done. Some may be removed, but just for us to understand, so that when we read a link, we're able to make the links. Because recently, you know, I just ran my eyes on the ERA amendment, be trying to, but all I could do was to understand what the amendment is, you know, with my non-expert mind, you know. Now it was really skull-cracking to be able to link it now with the ISMO. Whereas if you make life easier for us, you know, by doing that matrix, you know, it I'm sure you guys expertise enough to do that for us, to be very helpful. Also, even make sure that have timing. You know, I actually looked on members. Which act is Energy Act? Each chapter, there had to be a determination when it get activated. And so put both layers, you know. Promulgated, yeah, that's it. Quite a number of them would be, say, promulgated by this date. And very interestingly, some by March 2012, or a preferred guess, 2012, you know. And that's why, you know, a tracking system is very important for us in Parliament, you know. I trust that community support would look into those things, and you know, from legal services as well, because I mean, by right you should have had the tracking system to have picked that up, because it was the other parliament, the third parliament, isn't it? Mm-hmm. No, the first parliament, 2008. Mm-hmm. The promulgation was 12th March, 2012, you know. So all the creative way, Honourable Smart, should have been there to prompt it that Energy Committee, or even if it was a former committee, here it is getting promulgated, you know. Do you want to have a look at it or to do whatever? And in fact, in certain areas, some of them are saying it will be by determination of the presidency, you know. I'm just sensitizing you that some of the things can be quite complex. Okay. I suppose the department has done its best, refreshing us on the bill itself. We can go through it, having had all the areas. But how I wish, as a comment, the presidential initiative which Mama Pierre left hanging was concluded, probably it would have been helpful. You know, the one that the current police commissioner was driving. Because, you know, it's, remember? What did you call it?
Presidential review on state-owned
facilities. How I wish that could have been concluded. Because, you know, we're setting up a state-owned entity. Maybe they could have been. But we'll do our best. We'll just do our best to ensure that we give it a best shot to set up the entity that comes out in mind. Honourable members, thanks, Meneer. Quite a number of things have come up again. Even if we were rehashing them, it's good. At times it's good to rehash certain issues because then it emphasizes and highlights to us that we really need to have a hawk's eye and be 1,000% alert on those things. We really have been sluggish in terms of looking at policy issues, the white paper. Surely we must make some space for it, second, third term, probably sooner. I'm throwing it back to the department to have to brainstorm whether an energy summit, you know, couldn't be a good idea, having all the new, you know, developments, you know, not only, you know, within the country, but also regionally, you know. We really are part of the region. The issues that were raised, the underwriting, Honorable Israeli, yes, working group, we have to be, you know, pretty alert on that. I suppose the determination versus procurement arrangement will be laid to rest at some stage. The customer arrangement, you know, very tricky, but please, don't even spend 24/7. Spend 25/8. DPE, National Treasury, ESCOM, DOE, and even, the latest call, Nostalga, you know, or COPTA, if they need to come into the party, you know, and that gets thrashed out, you know, because it's not about my empire or my TEF. It's about how we make the best of it for the country, because this energy source provides 85% of the country's energy needs. Keep that in mind. So its impact is pretty profound. Honourable members, if there's nothing else, we'll just thank the department and everyone for coming. At least let's go and get all our files now out of it and shake up the dust and read again, look at our notes and prepare to get cracking on the bill. Read, even if you read the summer submission 2 or 3 times so that we are sure. It's good to be influenced by the public and we should look at it in that positive way because it strengthens us. Next week, from tomorrow until 5th of March, it's quite a journey. Remember last year we did call ESCOM to just take us through after they submitted their application formally. And we also called NERSA the same day to tell us, you know, how they are going to take their thing through. I trust and hope as many members as possible did attend the public consultations. I did sample 2 of them, very interesting inputs, and how I wish in future there would even be more of that. But NERSA has already indicated that they will improve, definitely, because we would pick up a few things. Not that I condone what happened in Port Elizabeth, you know, because, I mean, NERSA organize this public consultation on their own initiative, you know. I think things would have been seen in that positive light. And mistakes can be done from here and there. I mean, that was my immediate reaction as well, being an Eastern Cape homeboy, that Umgras, Elfikistiki, you know, Mount Frere, Alwal North, yeah, that's quite a distance, you see. there's quite a distance,
surely.
You know, I'm sure NASA is positive enough to fix that in future. But what I'm coming to is that we are inviting NASA next Tuesday to tell us what have they decided on yesterday, how did they decide on it. Can I please and preempt everyone right now? Let's look at this in a two-stage way, okay? Let's look at Tuesday. Let them tell us how they did it, right? Let them tell us a little bit as to why as well. Let's go for a second stage where we can go a little bit deeper now. Don't you think? Because a lot of issues were raised during the public consultation. And surely, we need to have some kind of a summary of this nature on the public consultations, isn't it? Both business, organized civil society, or individuals, experts and things. Without influencing you that much, but, you know, a lot of things came into my mind. It was not just the tariffs, you know. It triggered just a range of issues that have to be taken into account. So I really would be keen that we take it, so let's say in African strategies, you know, we don't rush it. We get the downloading or the offloading initially, and then we give ourselves some space to go and ponder on it and have our researchers, you know. And then you come back and say, what lessons are coming out of this? What is it that, from a parliamentary angle, you know, we can do about the whole issue, the tariff issue, and related issues? Because also, tariffs are tariffs. Aren't just tariffs. They also have a catalytic and a ripple effect on other things. I'm sure we'll be happy with that. But at least as for the first stage, we know it's next week, we'll get it. So I'm conditioning you not to go much for comment. We absorb as much as we can. We go and give ourselves space and time. We come back now and give our comments, come with ideas, and see what role we need to do. I mean, for years, I've just been looking at increases, frown, crumble, like anyone. But now I'm in this position, I realize that now one guest has got to respond, together with you obviously, in a different way now, on the issue of, you know, the tariffs, multi-year price determination tree, you know. As they say, multi-year price determination. The researcher is listening, and the content advisor is listening, and the committee secretary is listening, you know, for process issues. Surely, we work hand in glove to see how we work on that. Otherwise, as for now, thank you very much. Let's go and stretch our legs, take a deep breath, cool down. Minister Pravin Gordhan is coming at 12 o'clock. Just remember one thing. We're still South Africans, you know, under Mandela's inspiration. We still are able to grapple with the most difficult things that our country is facing. I think they've already alluded, but let's prepare and condition ourselves. And remember, we're still patriotic South Africans. God bless. Meeting sends adjourned.
How are you? Fine, no complaints. No complaints. Interesting debate yesterday.
Yes,
well.
Okay. No more.